It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. If this was video, you'd see me shaking my head. Oh my God. Yeah, it's going to be one of those weeks. But then again, ever since January 20th, 2017, it's been one of those weeks. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we exist on the interweb tubes. Yep. And it is Moran Monday for the 13th day of May, 2019. Brother Deacon Asa tells me Moran's pouring out both streams, Brother Bob. More Moran's what one can shake a stick at. We're talking reptile-level Moranity. Oh, they got an upgrade, did they? I was thinking we were down around paramecium-level Moranity, but hey, it's also that probably makes this the only radio program in the country today to use the word paramecium. So we've got that going for us, which is nice. Every program begins with thanks here at The Horn, and thanks go out on this 13th day of the month to Gary and Gaia in Oregon, to Kay, thank you, Kay, and to Greg. You know, once upon a time, the 13th of the month was the loneliest subscriber day of the month, but Kay and Greg jumped in to make it not so lonely for Gary and Gaia, so thank you very, very kindly. Over the weekend, thanks to Gary and Angelica and Suman and Paul, to Mark, to John, to Libby, to Paul from Parts Unknown, to Tony and Chico, to Mary Bell, Christopher, Sean, and that takes up Saturday and Sunday. So thank you all very, very kindly, most kindly, for being partial sponsors of the program and helping keep this whole thing going for as long as you have. If you'd like to be a subscriber, God, we day in and day out, but there's a little box you click over at the contribute tab at headon.live, and well, I don't know, maybe there's not anymore. Okay, hold on. Okay, yeah, it says make this month donation monthly. You can click that and you're a new subscriber. Bang, just like that. So anyway, we've got, and as you'll see there, Brother Deacon Asa helps keep track of the fundraising goal. The goal for today is $378 because we pulled up $178 short last week. And with the monthly bills waiting, well, hopefully we'll knock that out. Not going to talk about it a lot. It wears me out talking about it, but we're at $378 and we've got way too much madness to deal with over the course of the, over the course of the program. So if we can raise $378, that will be wonderful. We will be even for the beginning of the week and move boldly into the remainder of it. Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Yes, I definitely am. And it is, in fact, Moran Monday. It's as Moran-y a Monday as I can recall, but then again, everyone is. So, well, let's do this right. Let's get Moran Monday started the way Moran Monday needs to begin.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Yes, indeed, as you can tell from hearing the pumping of the calliope at the very beginning of the song, it's Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, 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 step right up behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas. We've got them all. Morans of all stripe, all manner. For the most part, birthers, deathers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, maggots, Republicans, and a smattering of Morans from other quarters. Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. They're all waiting right here for you, just a few steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only scant moments ago you were heaving ping-pong balls at goldfish bowls in the desperate and mostly vain hope of bringing home a little baby iguana that will someday grow big enough to eat not just your dinner, but you and your entire family as well. But that's all far in the distant future. As you wander the midway, come on over this way, enjoy the Morans. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed, you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. You just can't tell them much. For less than 15 cents a day, less than 48 cents per program, that's what you get, all the Morans you can stand. You will be absolutely armored and girded against the Moranity that stalks our country day by day by day. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. Aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, kitties and cousins, friends and neighbors, be careful. Because we offer an advisory for anyone walking behind the thin cybernetic veil that houses the Morans. Keep an eye on your purses, your wallets, your bracelets, your watches, rings, necklaces, ankle necklaces. They go down there, too, the Morans do. The children, pets, even the iguana. Keep a close eye on all of them, and maybe even a hand, because the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. And you will... I don't know about you, but I'm gonna need a bleach shower by the end of this program. The Scott's off and running. Paramecium level Moranity. Paramecium? Wasn't that the head football coach at Notre Dame in the 60s? No, wait, I'm thinking of era Parsegian. Never mind. I've heard that they were easily confused, era Paramecium and era Parsegian. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, we will have the calliope player give it a rest, brother, because he worked so hard pumping that damn thing up. But here we are, and here we go. I'm hard-pressed, as usual, to know just quite where to start. But, I'd say you never go wrong if you start with Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State of the United States, religious maniac, fundamentalist, zealot. And, of course, he graduated first in his class at the West Point. Apparently, if you can get through, back then, if you could get through the plebe year, after that, the grade inflation was pretty profound. We learned about grade inflation up at Harvard on the Mon, state school, of course, when we found out that all the folks who made it through their first year up at those private colleges in Pittsburgh tended to graduate later with no lower than a 3.0. That was grade inflation. Because once you had them, you wanted to make sure they looked good going out the door. And so, grade inflation. down at little old Harvard on the Mon, the state school. Didn't give a good goddamn. Didn't charge much money back then. And if you wanted to stay, you'd best work. And so the great inflation was not nearly as profound. But I don't think, this being Moran Monday and everything, I don't think we can even begin to touch the great inflation that must have attended the matriculation at West Point, where he was first in his class. You know, I get paid every time I say that. Back then, young Mike Pompeo. But it's not every day that even Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, brought to you by Carl's Jr., it's not just every day that you get Moranity of this caliber. Now, we start with a basic fact. There used to be a lot of ice in the Arctic. But 95% of the oldest ice in the Arctic is gone. And it is not replaced by more and newer, better ice. New ice, you know, sort of like new Coke back in the 80s. No, it's not. But Mike Pompeo is a half-glass-full kind of guy. And apparently that glass is half full of a brutal combination of pure grain alcohol and ether. Because he gave a speech last week in front of an organization of which I confess I was unaware. The world has something called the Arctic Council. Yes. And they had a ministerial meeting last week, midweek, as a matter of fact. And for reasons known but to the leadership of the Arctic Council, they invited Mike Pompeo to speechify in front of them. The Arctic Council is, I think we may safely assume, concerned with the well-being of the Arctic. I'm not going to trouble you with audio, mainly because I do not have it. Instead, I'm simply going to share with you a quote from Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State of the United States, who finished first in his class at West Point. You know, every time I say that, God stomps in paradise, or down in hell, probably, one of his former professors that gave him all them fucking A's. First in his class at West Point. Well, here's what first in your class at West Point gets you. A declaration that the melting of the Arctic... Oh, get the hockey puck. I almost made a terrible mistake. No, get it. Get it. Take a big bite out. Get it in deep and snug and run the duct tape around because... Yes, he's a religious maniac. He's a religious zealot. But, of course, he's also a Republican. And that means that the first thing that Mike Pompeo ever thinks about, probably even before he thinks about the dear, sweet, fake, lammy baby Jesus, is money. Money. Money, 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 money. Money. Yeah. And so it was this past Wednesday, Mike Pompeo unlimbered himself of his opinions on the melting Arctic. I hope I have provided you sufficient time to get the hockey puck and the duct tape out, because this is a real screamer. The fact that the Arctic has more or less melted is going to provide what he referred to, and this here is a quote, new opportunities for trade. Yeah. This is a little like Romper Room, so I can actually see people running and tearing at their hair and their clothing and shrieking into the into the hockey pucks. Yeah, he said that the melting of the ice cap is going to provide new opportunities for trade. And, you know, that may be true. 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 million years from now, that race of 6-foot-tall sentient cockroaches may be scurrying all and swimming and what, who knows what, building ships that, or maybe airships or rockets or whatever that they operate with the four with the four legs that they aren't using to locomote with, because they're, remember, upright bipedal sentient 6-foot-tall cockroaches. And they just may be trading all over this planet. And every day when they get up, they will turn and they will face a statue of some random human being whom they worship as a god for having made the planet on which they could become as great as they certainly will be. They'll be living on mounds of filth and refuse and absolutely reveling in it. Yes, 6-foot-tall cockroaches. It's Moran Monday on the Horn, and dinner is now officially fucking ruined in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Quit ruining our goddamn dinner, Bob. Mm-hmm. New opportunities for trade. By the way, in the course of this entire speech that Mike Pompeo gave, he made no mention whatsoever of the existential crisis to continued human existence on the planet that is climate change. Not one. But we do have quotes. And here's the funny thing. The Arctic Council even invited him to speak after the U.S. tried to take all references to climate change out of a joint statement with the Arctic Council. But still, they said, nah, come on. So just stand behind the podium and blab and babble and say something about trade and Jesus, okay? Trade and Jesus? What, for a savior to be named later? Steady reductions in sea ice are opening new passageways and new opportunities for trade. This could potentially slash the time it takes to travel between Asia and the West by as much as 20 days. Arctic sea lanes could become the 21st century Suez and Panama canals. Oh, I'll bet. I guess old Mike Pompeo is blissfully unaware of the amount of conflict that and grim goddamn death that was centered around the Suez Canal. Yeah. Or, say, you know, the people who died like flies of yellow fever digging the Panama Canal. And its centerpiece, the Arctic Ocean, is rapidly taking on new strategic significance. Offshore resources, which are helping the respective coastal states, are the subject of renewed competition. I don't know why he didn't just say oil and fucking gas, but he said resources. Right, because the world is going to come to its senses and set up tidal energy generating stations in the now melted... No. But that was what it was on his mind all along. He says trade, he means oil. Because these sick, misbegotten fiends can't think of anything but money. It is probably the greatest problem, or it is the origin of the greatest problem this world faces. The desire for wealth has driven us to the brink of an ecocidal cataclysm. Money grubbers have gotten us where we are. See, absolutely, I mean, I wish it wasn't true, but it is. Money grubbing. Ooh, Jesus, I sold short today and I made up to gajillion dollars. Ooh, I took a long position and I'm going to be rich. Rich, I tell you, someday. Rich. I'll have a home in the country, a river of beer flowing over my grandmother's paisley shawl. But a man will come down to me from the bank and he'll sign here. He'll say, sign here, and I'll sign, and he'll walk away through the waving fields of alfalfa. Grub, 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 money, 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 stuff, 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 stuff. And even that goofy old book that's full of all kinds of bad advice, every now and then, well, it, you know, like a blind hog finding an acorn, every now and then you'll find something in there that's actually worth paying attention to. And so, you know, 2,500 years ago, they were sitting there scratching on the lamb guts or the papyrus or whatever for the love dip of. Dip some more. Fucking, I'll be glad when the goddamn capitalists invent fucking ballpoint pens. Money. Oh, wait a minute. I gotta stop and fucking sharpen my goddamn stick. Goddamn. Ah, fucking cut myself. Goddamn it. Where was I? For the love of money. Good, good, good. More ink. Is. Dip, dip. The. Root of all. God damn it. Can I just fit? No, I got to dip again. Shit. I would have been better off with a little sharp stick and a pile of batshit. Dip, 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 dip. How did the Egyptians do this? Evil. Good. Period. Done. Full stop. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Yeah, that must be the part of the book that Mike Pompeo never got around to reading because he was too busy getting his grades inflated there in trig class or something up there at the West Point. Mm-hmm. What's that? Ron in the far-flooded North might know something about this. There's a fucking treaty in place that clearly states that Canada has dominion over the Northwest Passage. But this apparently doesn't mean anything. It's not the transit rights for shipping. It's the emerging access to all that oil and gas in relatively shallow yet still pristine waters. They should retitle this administration as Assholes Are Us. Yeah, well, what are you going to do, Ron? I mean, You're Canada, and you're the friendliest people on Earth. But what are you going to... What are you going to do when the Chinese Navy sails up and, like you said, relatively shallow water, so it won't take much of a flagpole, sticks a flag right smack down into the goo at the bottom of the melted sea and says, "We claim this water in the name of China." What are you going to do, shoot at them? China and the United States together are a rounding error, population-wise, for some of the individual cities in China. That's why not picking a fight with them is probably a good idea, and that's on the list, too, later today. Oh, the money grubbers were, oh, they were hand-wringing and pearl-clutching in rare fashion today. Because those tender, easily upset markets were all skirt of Donald J. Trump. Because he spent the weekend. I guess it rained where he was, like it rained where I was, so I didn't get any barbecuing done. Next week looks a little better. Maybe partial sunshine. Maybe I'm out in the yard getting a little sun on. Yep, nothing but a Speedo. You damn right. But it must, and I don't, I guess he didn't get any golf in. He must have rained up there at Shitminster or whatever that piece of crap golf club of his is. Oh, by the way, he keeps saying that my golf clubs are among the best in the world. The people who gauge those sorts of things, he's not even, he's like, his best golf club is like rated 156th. Fucking liar. Yeah. Well, okay. That sounds like that. Boy, that, you know, when you do, when the Canadian, when the Canoodlians do that, you know they're serious. Ron says, we're going to double the height of that hedge and jack up the price on that maple syrup they love so much. There you go. So, you know, Mike Pompeo is a fucking moron, and that's why he starts the program. But we get a double dose of Mike Pompeo. Yeah, because in addition, since he was toddling around the European continent, he decided to pop in Brussels, you know, for just a little, hi, how are you, with our former, European allies. I mean, I think they'd still like to be allies with us, but we're a country that can't be trusted with the carcass of a run-over skunk because Donald J. Trump has marching orders, and those marching orders are to break up NATO and make the world safe for his dear, 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 dear friend, the big, bad Vladdy Daddy Putin, who was so busy, he went out on the ice for a little hockey. And he was so busy looking at the adoring adoring fans of his despotism up in the stands that he didn't notice they'd put out a carpet on the ice. And suddenly, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy found out that you can't skate on carpet, at least not with ice skates. Pretty damned hard with roller skates when you get right down to it, but Big Bad Vladdy Daddy fell right on his goddamn face. And no one in that ice rink even so much as cracked a smile because they didn't want to be taken out and machine gunned because Big Bad Vladdy Daddy, huggable and cuddleable and lovable though he may be, orders people killed on his own fiat because he's a great guy. Yeah. But anyway, Donald Trump has his orders and he's following them. And that's why he's trying to destroy the European alliance that's done such a goddamn good job of keeping Europe from descending into an interminable abattoir ever since 1945. Yeah. And they'd like to keep not doing that. But according to the Washington Post, Mike Pompeo, who graduated first in his class at West Point, I almost said Walmart. It's about the same thing, apparently. He decided he'd just toddle over to Brussels. Because he had this cool idea that he'd heard, and he was going to go to Brussels and try to get our European sort of allies to have a photo op with him that they could then use to say, Bruga, 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 war with Iran, Bruga, Bruga. And which would immediately go into, you know, that photo would immediately go into John Bolton's spank bank on his phone for those lonely moments. Yes. Right. Funny thing is, the Europeans didn't cooperate. Speaking to Lawrence Norman of the Wall Street Journal, a senior European diplomat tells me at Secretary Pompeo came to Brussels for a photo op. Europe and U.S. stand against Iran. He wanted a photo op. We declined and stuck to the plan. Yes. Oopsie. Jesus, what a bunch of bloody-minded fuck-ups in charge of our country. War with Iran's one thing. But there was news out of the Gulf of Tonkin today, Persian Gulf. Have we changed that to Arabian Gulf? I saw that used in a journalistic story. There's two different ones. Ron in the far-flooded north says, I suspect you may touch on the damaged Saudi tankers at some point this evening, considering how much this resembles the Tonkin Gulf incident. See how great minds think alike. And even one mediocre mind and one great mind, which is the case of me and Ron. And trust me, I'm the mediocre mind. Rumors are rampant about divers disembarking from subs and attaching limpet mines or some such to the hulls of empty Saudi oil tankers heading home to reload. This is one of those moments when we realize that the soul of comedy is the ability to recognize the ridiculous and consequently, cowbell for Ron. There we go. Who the fuck blows up empty oil tankers? I would also mention that almost everyone native to that part of the world is now into the second week of Ramadan, eating and drinking nothing from dawn to dusk. I can vouch for the fact that tempers are short during this period on the calendar. Tempers may be short, but plots are long and tangled. And so, yeah, the first thing I thought when I saw the story break earlier today was Gulf of Tonkin, because the Saudis, who really haven't mastered the art of nuance, put out this story about sabotaging tankers, and then they said, one of which was going to take oil to the United States. And, of course, Iran will be blamed, even though there was said to be a wet and drippy dive suit hanging in the closet of good old head-lopping Mohammed bin Bonesaw. Ooh-wee! If you said that in Saudi Arabia, your head would be rolling around your feet before you got Bonesaw out of your mouth. You know, because they love freedom there in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, they let Mike Pompeo talk at the Arctic Council, but They didn't go all in and participate in porn for him there in Brussels. Good on you, folks in Brussels. Thanks for keeping the faith with the modern world. Much obliged. Let's see, a bunch of email rolling in on the hurry. Hey, thanks very kindly to Otto. Otto just took us down to $368 to go. Thank you, Otto. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully you'll get some company. Ron in Raleigh says, excuse me? Could you please explain to me who appointed the members of the Arctic Council? What is the charter of said council? Is protection or exploitation? Their motto isn't, we want it all, is it? Well, as the wise old owl in the Tootsie Pop commercial once said, let's find out. Ah, yes, the Arctic Council. Working. There we go. I'm not finding a good reason to hate on them too much, Ron, because they at least acknowledge the reality of climate change. That's what I've got. Stand by, please. So, I don't have anything immediately to hand, but if they acknowledge climate change, they're at least somewhere toward the right side of reality, something like that. That sounds good. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, 6-foot cockroaches will be riding sturgeons 8 hands high. And News Ninja Gene points out, funny how Pooty Poot wants the same thing as Trump. Well, to be fair, he came up with the idea. Robert in Australia, the Arctic ice pack. The month and year I was born, August 1958, the atomic-powered submarine Nautilus completed man's first voyage under the North Pole. It spent 4 days under the ice. I recall reading as a kid that the thickness of the Arctic ice pack was a national secret because a sub could hide under the ice and then come up through it to launch a nuke. And now, there's no Arctic ice pack. All in my lifetime, says Robert in Australia. And sadly, that's not a secret anymore. Assholes R Us, Randy in PA tells us, is about to declare bankruptcy. Mitt Romney and Bain Capital drained the assets dry. Not only are there photographs, Darlene in Connecticut sending laughing emojis, are there pics of Vladdy's epic face plant? Not only are there pics, there's video. It somehow made it outside the walls of the Kremlin or the ice rink, and you can see him there just skating along, and he's looking up into the stands at his adoring sycophants, and yeah. Speaking of China, Robert in Australia says, here in Australia, we're having a federal election on Saturday. Rubbing it in, Robert says, it's been a long election campaign, 6 weeks, and everyone will be glad when it's over. Our very own version of Donald Trump, billionaire Clive Palmer, he doesn't pay his employees either, has set up his very own political party, and one of their ads is claiming that the Labour Party has sold out Australia by selling airports in Western Australia to China. The airports being suitable for military jets. The ad even explains how China could use them to take over Western Australia. I had to giggle. We have sold a world-killing coal mine in Queensland to an Indian billionaire. That's Indian as in India. So selling Western Australia to China isn't beyond our current liberal leaders, who billionaire Clive Palmer has a preference arrangement with in the upcoming election. Why invade it when you can just buy it? And we couldn't stop a Chinese invasion anyway. Help from the USA, maybe? I doubt you guys would risk a world war over Western Australia. Well, I kind of doubt New South Wales and Queensland, etc., would risk a world war over Western Australia. I hear Perth is very nice this time of year, but yeah. And see, again, I think it was Jimmy Carter, who, by the way, had surgery today. God damn it, he broke a hip. So he was having hip surgery today. I hope he's okay out of this. I hope this isn't the long slow, well, at his age, not so slow slide into that. No, please. Oh, please, Jimmy, live until somebody besides Donald Trump is president so your funeral won't be right. Or maybe that, well, don't even want to speculate. Yeah. And by the way, it's not just, you know, it's not the one presidential candidate who is saying more about climate change than any other and actually has plans and has dealt with it, you know, governmentally, things like that, is Jay Inslee. But anything that comes from Jay Inslee will be sort of measured, and it will sound policy-ish. Can you imagine if Donald Trump actually acknowledged climate change? What kind of name he'd call it or whatnot? Yeah. Well, enter, and I'm not comparing him to Donald Trump. But enter Bill Nye, the science guy, who, like many others, is trying to get people to understand the desperation that faces our well, our current status relative to the warming of the planet. That leads us to something that Bill Nye said, which damned well deserves hearing.
I've got an experiment for you, safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fucking fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the fuck up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, motherfuckers.
Bill Nye did that at the behest of John Oliver. And it's funny, but it's only funny because it's true. And the people who are laughing in there that you hear in the background, well, those are people who already get it. The challenge is, and always will be, how to explain, because let's go back and understand a certain political principle about this country. You do not have to have a majority to fuck this country, or to control it, or to make it do what you want. A noisy plurality is all it takes. If you've ever seen, and it was many, many years ago now, if you've ever seen Ken Burns' documentary about on the rise of Prohibition, that is that principle is driven home with a sledgehammer. There was no majority in favor of criminalizing alcohol in the United States. It happened anyway. This state was ahead of the curve, imposing prohibition in, I believe, 1913, you know, West Virginia. Because we had a higher than usual incidence of religious maniacs. and we're witnessing with regard to women's bodies right now. The very same principle at work. Steve in New York wants to know, was that really Bill Nye? I just didn't see the word fuck coming from his mouth. Well, it did. I mean, the script was written for him by the folks at Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Here, let's do it again, just for fun.
I've got an experiment for you, safety glasses on. By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fucking fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the fuck up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12, but you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, motherfuckers.
Yep. Yep. That's Bill Nye. As Arnold says, best thing ever. Oh, and I'm sure there's lots of hand wringing and pearl clutching over this too. I can't believe a man that we entrusted with the minds of our precious children, like Bill Nye, who taught them about science, without teaching them about Jesus, and of course he's going to hell, is now out there using those filthy, filthy words. Yeah. But that noisy plurality business has been the ruin of so many great ideas in this country. Slavery went on as long as it did because of a noisy minority. Namely, plantation wealth-controlling plantation owners in the American South. Yeah. So, once again, the question, how do you go about dealing with a problem that's a real problem and preventing that tendency for a noisy plurality to ruin everything? How do you drive the bus down the road? Imagine a bus, and imagine a bunch of Baptists, fundamentalists, evangelicals, maggots, Republicans, but I repeat myself, and they've all laid down in protest in front of the bus to keep us from going forward into the future and do something about the problem, because that's exactly what the right-wing response to climate change is. What do you do? Well, I don't know what you do in the real world, but I know in the metaphorical world, you crank up the bus, you close the doors, and you drive on, driver! Yeah. Renee, writing from D.C., the goddess of irony wouldn't miss out on giving Vlad the red carpet treatment when facing his fans, finding him just as adorable face down. Well played, Renee. And the goddess of irony will grant you an absolution for that. So, you know, that's one less whoopee cushion you'll sit on in your life. Ron in Raleigh says, hey, Bob, India is getting their vote on. Their voting period's the same length as the Australian campaign period. It takes a while when you have 900 million voters. Again, with the rounding errors. James in Australia says, Western Australia, all the sand you can haul. Continuing, entrusted our children. You assholes just wanted free daycare. You weren't thinking about the details. That's what Vacation Bible School is for. Yeah. Sorry, Arnold. I don't have a handy-dandy. I'm on one device. I'm on, like, several different devices at once. But if you just use your favorite search engine and type in Bill Nye, put in Bill Nye, the first thing that's going to pop is that video, that clip from John Oliver's show. And then Ron in the far flooded north says, because Ron is tapped right into current events, Julius Geezer today, well, kind of over the weekend, sort of, yeah. His latest bullshit, and it happened today when he was meeting with Viktor Orban. Viktor Orban is the president of Hungary. Hungary, not Hungary. God damn it, you hillbilly. Viktor Orban is the president of Hungary, and Viktor Orban is a pariah among European nations because he is a vicious right-wing, modern fascist, anti-Semitic, anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, walking piece of human shit. Naturally, he was welcome today at the White House. And during the photo op in which even Viktor Orban, who made sure that his tie was tied way too long, too, because he wanted to please his patron, Julius Geezer. Well, they were sitting there getting pictures took of them of each other when the following emanated from the gob of the nitwit Nero.
Respected all over Europe. Probably, like me, a little bit controversial, but that's okay.
That's the funniest part. Viktor Orban is respected all over Europe. He left out two words. Respected by Nazis all over Europe. But I quibble.
Probably, like me, a little bit controversial, but that's okay. That's okay. You've done a good job, and you've kept your country safe. We'll be discussing NATO. As you know, Hungary is a proud member of NATO, and we've really...
Why do we need the adjective in front of member? Hungary is a proud member of NATO. It's not like they won a goddamn beauty contest to get in. Or had to ride a goat. Or face a blackball vote. Proud member of... But everything has to have a certain amount of aggrandizement to it with this monstrosity. Because it's what he has instead of thoughts.
...of NATO, and we've really gotten to know each other a little bit. And we'll be discussing trade, very much so, and lots of other subjects. We'll be meeting with representatives of Hungary later on with the Prime Minister, and we'll spend some very good time together. So, Mr. Prime Minister, thank you very much for being at the White House. Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, just in case you were wondering, no, Barack Obama would not allow Viktor Orban into the White House or grant him a state visit. And before even the little maggot turds can say, well, it's because he's a Kenyan Muslim, you slurper, neither would George W. Bush. God almighty. That's what a POS Viktor Orban is. And, of course, he's a darling of the so-called alt-right, the neo-Nazis, the Klansmen, the Republican base, the scumbags of this country. But eventually, Julius Geezer did get around to talking a little bit about...
You can go back long before that, and it's been taking out $400, $500, $600 billion a year out of the United States, and we can't let that happen. We're in a very strong position. Our economy has been very powerful. Theirs has not been. We've gone up a lot since our great election in 2016.
There's another one of those stupid adjectives. Our great election.
And if you look at the numbers, they've gone down quite a bit. We're dealing with them. We have a very good relationship. Maybe something will happen. We're going to be meeting, as you know, at the G20 in Japan. And that'll be, I think, probably a very fruitful meeting. But we're taking in right now hundreds of billions of dollars. We're taking in billions of dollars of tariffs.
This, of course, is a great big, not even remotely defensible lie. Because he's a liar. Taking in, and it goes from hundreds of billions, billions.
And those tariffs are going to be tremendously, if you look at what we've done thus far with China, we've never taken in 10 cents until I got elected. Now we're taking in billions and billions. Now it.
Yeah, Carl Sagan, he's not. Billions and billions. Jesus, God almighty. Breathtaking is the stupid with this one. And claiming, of course, that no one has ever imposed a tariff before him, which is also, I mean, you're a lie.
Went up as of Friday very substantially. It's 25% on $200 billion. So now the total is 25% on $250 billion. In addition to that, we have another $325 billion that we can do if we decide to do it. So we are taking in tens of billions of dollars. We've never done that before with China. We've never done that before with anybody, frankly.
Again, with the lies. He doesn't know anything about anything. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. That's why he's President Dunning-Kruger effect. And the money grubbers, while they don't dare speak out against him, are scared to death of him because, well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average leapt down the toilet to the tune of 2.38% losses today. The NASDAQ went for the deep dive at minus 3.41%. The S&P 500, minus 2.41%. And so, you know, that's that, you know, the journalists like to, the people who write about business shit, like to call that a plunge. But remember, because, you know, because it's all just a great big three-card Monte game, somebody got rich on all of that losing today. How about that? That's a hell of a game, isn't it? Where some money grubber somewhere, all I can think about is money. Ooh, there's percentages. Ooh, I love percentages. Yeah. But anyway, Ron in the far frozen north, no, far flooded north, says, why don't we encounter anything in the mainstream media about the fact that the billions being paid in Chinese tariffs aren't being paid by China any more than Mexico is paying for the wall? They're being paid by the importers of all those products bought by Americans at Walmart, Target, etc., and the increased costs are passed on to consumers. Ah, that's a nice grip of basic economics you got there, Ron. The majority of those consumers are in the middle to lower class, and this will represent a big hit to their wallets. Let's step back for a moment. Billions are paid to the Treasury, and that money comes from American citizens. Beyond the general stupidity of imposing tariffs, why isn't this being reported as a new tax imposed by fiat by assholes R Us under the guise of executive privilege? Oh, how many reasons can we count? Because the multimillionaire for-profit media are largely owned by right-wing Republican corporations. Because the right-wing owned for-profit media are scared of him because they're afraid he'll call them an ugly name and they don't feel empowered to call him one back, let alone call for impeachment. Because it might be good for some of them. And because, frankly, while they pissed and moaned for years and still are to a certain extent about economic anxiety, they really don't give a fuck about Mr. and Mrs. Walmart out there in middle America. I mean, that's three that I can come up with right off the top of my head, Ron. You got any others? I mean, I'm open to suggestion. I mean, I had a little fun on Twitter earlier today. I saw a tweet from Mrs. Greenspan. She added Kristen Welker at NBC, quoting her, apparently. A lot of these farmers, talking about the farmers in the Midwest, the hard-hit farmers, the pure farmers, who ran out in goddamn droves because of their economic anxiety, read, well, you know what that means, to vote for this fucking moron. A lot of these farmers that are going to be impacted by the Chinese tariffs are in Trump country, but it's not just farmers, it's various industries, but the president is defiant. Defiant. The operative phrase there is defiant. What I noted on Twitter is that this is why I despise the primness of autocorrect. It's obvious to me that she must certainly have typed is a dumbass, but got auto-corrected to is defiant and didn't notice it before she hit tweet. But that goes to the larger issue that Ron in the far flooded north points toward. This is a time for pointing out how monumentally goddamn stupid this man is. And just as was the case in the old fable of the emperor's new clothes, none of those cheering from the media bleachers have the nerve to point out that he's marching down the middle of Pennsylvania Avenue, stark raving naked and stark raving mad. If you recall the fable, I believe it's a little child who says, look, emperor has no clothes. And that breaches the dam and allows everybody else to start pointing and laughing. We need a lot of pointing and laughing. I mean, I saw some indignation over the weekend over the fact that he is desperate to turn the national annual 4th of July fireworks celebration into a celebration of him, Trump. And people were saying things like, it would certainly be a shame if he politicizes such a unifying event that happens every year. It would be a shame. Ring, ring, clutch, clutch. But no. What we need is for someone to say, is for someone with a great big bullhorn, a big platform, a megaphone, a pulpit, to say, this is what despots do. This is what tyrants do. About a third of America spent 8 years shitting themselves, hollering about a Kenyan Muslim usurper, but he never tried to turn the 4th of July fireworks display into a paean to himself. Because he wasn't a usurper. This is what a usurper looks like. Instead, it happens here. It happens at the Malloy Show. Rick Smith does it. Nicole does it. But over on the multimillionaire for-profit media, forget it. Forget it. And we're saying it, and everybody, and we know we're talking to people who agree with us. And it's not even a matter of agreement. It's a matter of talking to people who acknowledge reality. Monique pointing out, Trump is just the worst of America, exposed for all to see. Monique continues and says, you know, Melania should take a look at her husband enjoying the company of so many strong men, to steal from Seinfeld. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Just he talks more lovingly about these leaders than his own wife. Yeah, I mean, yesterday was Mother's Day, and he spent his day tweeting about tariffs in China, and somehow managed to get through the entire day without even wishing America a happy Mother's Day. Let alone wishing one to precious Ivanka and Melanoma. Jesus. Yeah. A couple of other things that bear mention. Going back to the discussion of the business with, and understand, when I say business, I mean business. The business with these abortion bills in Georgia, Alabama, Ohio. And I say business because that's one thing that I think we tend to leave out. These bills are so hateful and so draconian, so vicious, so misogynistic, that we forget that the anti-abortion industry is a fabulously rich industry, and they are not at all penurious about sharing the wealth, because it's a self-perpetuating pot. Because it's funded, and remember, and it's all tax-free, hallelujah, it's funded by the Emerys and Marvelines and people passing plates in Baptist and Church of Christ churches and Methodist churches and et cetera, et cetera. And so the money is always replenished. And so they share it out. And so being an anti-abortion Republican can be a very, very lucrative proposition. And they're not particular about who carries their message. It's okay to be a complete and absolute moron. Take, for instance, the jackass in Ohio who proposed removing an ectopic pregnancy from a fallopian tube and, you know, putting a little spit and toilet paper on it and cramming it in a woman's uterus and where it's never, ever been before, and turning it into a viable pregnancy, which, as noted here, is goddamned well impossible. Can't be done by medicine. Can't be done. That there's nowhere out there doing this, but this jackass in Ohio just makes it up. Okay? And so this is the guy who proposed that bill.
Lawmakers are considering a bill that would prohibit most insurance companies from offering coverage for abortion services. It would include drugs or devices used to prevent the implantation of a fertilized ovum.
Second part. I had it queued up to the wrong spot, because that was on my mind too, because this is one of those little journalism moments. This is one of those little art of word-knowing moments. It is apparently a struggle in this country to convey to people exactly what's involved in what we refer to as birth control. And this is a classic example of it. Pay close attention to what the local TV reporter said about the impact or the effect or the purpose of the Ohio bill. Okay? Listen again.
Lawmakers are considering a bill that would prohibit most insurance companies from offering coverage for abortion services. It would include drugs or devices used to prevent the implementation of a fertilized ovum.
So if that...
Time the right out. The implementation of a fertilized ovum. The key word here is implementation. I know for an absolute fact that you cannot implement a fertilized ovum. How do I know this? Because dictionary, that's how. Implementation. Let's go to Merriam-Webster because I like them a lot. An act or instance of implementing something. The process of making something active or effective. Implementation of a new policy, law. The Vatican used in a sentence. The Vatican returned the revised text to the bishops for implementation. Implementation. To implement, a verb, to carry out, to accomplish, to give practical effect to and ensure of actual fulfillment by concrete measures. No, you cannot put an ectopic embryo into a uterus through the use of concrete, you fucking ignorant Ohioans. What the bad reporter in Ohio meant was... implantation, to implant something. Monique got it right away. It's implanted, the implantation. But not according to the ACE reporter from whatever the fuck, W who gives a shit, TV24, I think it was, in Ohio. No, they didn't get that far into the art of word knowing in her journalism classes.
That would prohibit most insurance companies from offering coverage for abortion services. It would include drugs or devices used to prevent the implantation of a fertilized ovum.
So if that bill passes, even women who do qualify for an abortion...
Yeah. I found it inside John Oliver's takedown of all of this business. But even... And you know, he's so quick, I was surprised... He didn't even catch the implementation bullshit. But this is basic biology. A little ovum comes bounding down out of the ovary through the fallopian tubes and boom! And hangs out, you know, and waits for Sammy Sperm and his million cousins to come along and do some fertilizing. Right? And if the egg is fertilized, everyone in medical science then agrees that it implants into the uterine wall. It does not implement into the uterine wall. And thus, this Moran Monday nomination for reporter lady, who presumably has these lady parts, there at W Who Gives a Fuck, TV24 Action News Team Coverage Eyewitness Reporting, I guess in Ohio. if the people whom we entrust to allegedly, objectively present, report facts in a case or in a story, and they can't get something as basic as whether an ovum implants or is implemented. Jesus fucking Christ, a plow is an implement, not an ovum. Well, you know, what you got to do is get out there with your implements. You got to plow the ground before it, and then you get your manure spreader implement out, and you spread the manure, because that's what's going to make your plowed ground fertile. And then you implant the seeds. This is part of why we're screwed. It may seem ticky-tacky to some, but the dangerous part of that clip is that when they say something that prevents the implementation of an ovum, what they're saying is that IUDs will be banned in Ohio. Yeah. You know, Copper 7, whatever. Never having had to have one, I don't even know what the going devices are. But anything that keeps an ovum from being implanted in the uterine wall and turning into a pregnancy will become illegal in the state of Ohio. Thanks again to that jackass who introduced this bill and who freely admits that he doesn't know anything about pregnancy or medicine or devices. I mean, they interviewed the guy. Ohio News Watch Team Coverage Action Channel 12. And this guy said, I don't know nothing about having no babies. And so there's nothing in, you know, there's nothing in the law that says that anybody introducing a bill has to have even the first foggy clue about the topic they're introducing a bill on. And in the case of this idiot, well, he introduced a bill that was handed to him that he probably never even read from some goddamned well-funded personhood operation there in Ohio. And on TV, freely admitted it. That's the amazing part. I don't know how my bill will work. I don't know what it'll do to women. I don't give a shit. I'll leave that for somebody else to sort out. You know, if somebody went over to his house and started pouring gasoline all over it and was standing there flicking matches at it, and he ran out and said, "What in the hell are you doing?" I don't know what I'm doing. Somebody just told me to pour gasoline around your house and start flicking matches. I'll leave it to the experts to figure out what's going to happen if one of them hits. Oh, but that's okay for him. But fuck everybody else, especially the women people. Monique says, Bob, what happens to all the sex workers these righteous legislators knock up? Or their same-sex lovers? I mean, there's a record of this. Oh, yes, there is. See also Scott Desjarlais. I think I told you. It's been a Moran-rich weekend. I mean, this goober was only a pluribus unum, one out of many. And then, of course, there's a little something back here to home. The Charleston Gazette had the story. A Republican lawmaker, a member of the West Virginia Senate, who claims that she absolutely, positively did not plagiarize. By the way, she's a substitute teacher. She really and for truly didn't plagiarize the language in a bill that she in a commentary that she wrote. I thought we might judge for ourselves. Just for the, you know, just for the fun of it. Her name is Senator Patricia Rucker, a Republican of Jefferson County, West Virginia. Let this be a warning and an object lesson that just because you are a politician running and you've got a certain gender does not mean you're going to be better at it than someone else of a different gender. Patricia Rucker. She sent a letter to the editor, to the Beckley Register Herald, and they, of course, didn't particularly fact-check her letter. And she's a proponent because the Republicans had to pull back on their attempt to give away our public school system in this state to the charter for-profit school industry. So now we're going to have a special session of the legislature that's going to cost more West Virginians more money. And they're coming back with their goddamn charter school ideas. So she writes this op-ed for the Beckley Register Herald, sent the very same one to the Charleston Gazette, and it contained the following. Bear with me, it's just a paragraph. For example, the community of Tilldout, Pennsylvania, with a population of only 654, had success in establishing a charter school when the district proposed closing its school as a part of a consolidation. Because of their remote geography, distance from other communities, and the icy conditions they face in winter, the community members felt it was important to have a school located within Tilldout. Their charter school capitalizes on their tight-knit community and local resources to offer students place-based education and a family-like culture. She's writing this because one of the arguments against charter schools in West Virginia is that most of West Virginia is remote and rural, and there aren't a hell of a lot of corporations that are going to want to come in here and set up decent schools in remote rural counties. So that's her argument against it. Tilldout, Pennsylvania. Well, here's a blog post by someone by the name of Laura Gellis from the Progressive Policy Institute website, which is neither progressive nor an institute, but instead is just a fucking tax-free chop shop for charter schools. For example, the community of Tildout, Pennsylvania, with a population of only 654, had success in establishing a charter school when the district proposed closing its school as part of a consolidation. No, the internet stream has not looped back and you're hearing what I said 20, 30 seconds ago. Because of their remote geography, distance from other communities, and the icy conditions they face in winter, the community members felt it was important to have a school located within Tildout. Their charter school capitalizes on their tight-knit community and local natural resources to offer their students place-based education and a family-like culture. It is literally identical, save for a couple of additional dashes and the replacement of the two-letter abbreviation for Pennsylvania, PA, with the four-letter P-E-N-N. That's it. Nonetheless, when you get caught, brazen it out. So when the Gazette got wind of this, Senator Patricia Rucker was asked, and she said, "I wasn't looking at their article when I was writing mine. I did not copy it from them. No, I didn't intend to copy it from them." Is that because the better word is plagiarism? No, no. Senator Patricia Rucker couldn't say plagiarism if she had a mouthful of truth. Mm-mm. She's just another goddamn lying maggot. And I'm sure a Christian. And there's no penalty for this. She's just a dishonest shill. And no, she didn't copy it from them, because it's not copying if they send it to you to be used in an op-ed. Because that's what these tax-free chop shops do. Okay? It's just what they do. They buy legislators like we buy dry beans by the pound in the grocery store. They're just things. They're just tools doing the bidding of the people who own them. Lock, stock, and rotten pickle barrel. Plain and simple. Let's see. Let's run back to the mailbag. It's been piling up for a little bit because I've been filibobstering my little head off. Going back to the money grubbing numbers. Steve in New York says, "I generally don't give a rat's ass about the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ, but the more that happens, the more the billionaire class will abandon him. What the one percenters really don't want is a bear market." Scott, regarding the Dow Jones, "There's hardly a day when the bulls or bears aren't dancing on Wall Street. I mean, if you know how the game works and can play it with any degree of proficiency, you can make a shit pot of cash. Bulls and bears are puts and calls. It's designed to favor the big money folk and the insiders who enrich them." Wait a minute. Cowbell for Lee in New York. "Stop insulting the memory of Dr. Carl Sagan, Bob. Dr. Sagan used words to enlighten us about science and history. Fake finances fraud uses words to make salad." Lee also pointed out, going back to the proud member of NATO, "Hungary may be, the U.S. of A. is not. The U.S. pays bigly for the other nations. So sad, we pay bigly." James pointing out, in Illinois, "Military parades make more sense in places like Paris and Moscow, cities that beat back the Nazis hand to hand. Even the South never made it to D.C. Very damn close. Oh, thank you. Charlene, a member of the a founding member of the sorority of Leans, said, let's do a $25 challenge. If it's met tonight, I'll add another $25. Signed, sorority sister Charlene. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly. That would mean that we would knock down, we'd get down to the $300 mark. That would be huge. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very kindly. So that's on the table. If we can find somebody to kick in $25 here with half the program remaining. Thank you very kindly, Charlene. This is painful even to think about. Randy in PA says, I've tried ignoring Trump, but he's every fucking where. It's almost like trying to ignore Kim Kardashian. True. Ron and Raleigh with a little perspective. This evening should not go by without mentioning the passing of one of America's sweethearts, Doris Day. She was 97 years old. Que sera, sera. Uh-oh, I've gotten on the wrong side of Steve in New York. Dear, dear Bob, I'm pretty sure she made a mistake and meant implantation. Steve, I don't think she knows the difference. let's see. Halfway into the program, definitely in the gutter now. Subject line, Sammy Sperm. Scott says, meandering down the jism trail. The old jism trail. God damn it. Don't do that to me. Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport says, the Ohio reporter, I think it's a safe bet she hasn't been the recipient of the Buckeye News Hawk Award. No, no, nor the Silver Sow, nor the Copper Cob there, Jack. That's a top-notch WKRP reference. Well done. Well done. They do realize, says Ron and Raleigh, that the law would outlaw the pill and IUDs as well as the morning after pill. Can you say Griswold? Can you say coming after it? Yes. Subject line, Mussolini reference. Steve in Vermont says, about Rudy Giuliani, but could it also be about someone else, a small man in search of a balcony. That's good. That's good. Randy in PA says, their god is Mammon, the god of money, and I'm told that the Bible says you can't serve multiple gods. Well, it does say that, but it doesn't stop a hell of a lot of people from trying. Let's see here. Trade school professionals in the news. Steve, formerly of China, now on the West Coast, says this is what happens when people don't think mechanically so much as live and learn like thoughtful machines. Either way, it ain't really thinking. I think he's, yeah, I know he's referring to, you know, someone just being ginned out into a world without understanding that it's a profession and an art instead of a, you know, yeah. Quit telling us how to grammar Nazi, Bob. That from Brother Deacon Asa gets a cowbell. Okay, I think we're pretty close to caught up here. Let me make sure. Because there yet remains so many, many more ends. No, no, Bob, says Monique. A bag of beans have a purpose and nourish you. This ilk just takes away. Hear, hear. All right. I had two calls come in, and I joined them together because I think it's going to be lots of fun. Are you there, Todd? Todd?
Hello?
Yeah. And let me see. Are you there, Tracy?
Oh, shit. Seriously?
Yep.
You got me and Todd at the same time?
I do.
Wow.
You're in for it.
Yep. He's not in for it. I'm just chilling. I'm just listening to motherfuckers talking about, you know, trying to not to implement IUDs and money grubbing and, because I'm sort of kind of a Christian, but according to, you know, these zealots and these idiots, I can't be a Christian because I'm a lesbian. So, yeah, you know, but there's, you know, we were talking about, you know, money being the root of all evil. What is this? There's another little tidbit in the Bible talking about stewardship, you know, because according to, you know, Old and New Testament, the earth is not ours. We are just here for a season, and while we're here, we're supposed to take care of the bitch, motherfucker, whatever. But, so, I have a problem because these people are claiming to be Christians, and they're doing their level best to rape and pillage the earth and lay waste to it and just say, you know, it's all about the Benjamins. And you know, I just wish that when they start crying, you know, when they deny about climate change, or they start screaming about, you know, pro-life and all that, it's like, but wait, if you care so much about pro-life and you care so much about Jesus, then why aren't you doing your level best to take care of the earth? Because see, if you're pro-life, you should be making sure that there's going to be life is going to be able to be sustainable.
You want me to give you the fundamentalist answer to that, Tracy?
Please do.
Well, they live since we've already had a Carl Sagan reference this evening. They live in what Carl Sagan once identified as a demon-haunted world. And so the world that your Baptists live in, and et cetera, fundamentalists of whatever stripe. It is a world that does not operate according to logical scientific principle. It is a world literally, because they are literalists, and this isn't the Wednesday shtick. This is reality. They live in a way, your average Baptist walks out into the world every day and never knows when a snake is going to start talking to her or him. Your average Pentecostal walks out into the world every day and never knows when a herd of demon-possessed pigs are going to come running through the rose bushes. They live in a and so climate change means nothing to them because it's either a sign of God's displeasure with human activity, which doesn't mean displeasure with them. It means displeasure with the homosexuals and the liberal secular humanists and the Catholics and the Muslims and the Jews, but never with them. Or else it's the setup for the second coming of Jesus.
Is your name Pompeo?
You watch that mouth. But he believes that way, okay? You know, if the Arctic ice cap fucking melts, that's great for Mike Pompeo because Jesus can water ski in for his second coming. I'm not kidding. I ain't joking. And then they cite to the verse in Genesis that says, you know, I give you all plants that doth flower and bear seed, you know, unless it's marijuana.
It's a minion.
And I give you dominion over the earth. Dominion, be fruitful and multiply.
That's right there in the beginning of the Bible.
And so that's why these people are often referred to as dominionists. In other words, I'm going to let you, fuck all that stewardship stuff. I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do to the planet, and because it's a magic world and not a world based on law or science or physics or biology, if it gets too bad, I'll just wave my heavenly wand and everything will be all better all of a sudden.
You're not serious, though.
Yes, I'm serious.
They believe
this all the way down to their toenails, Todd. And there's enough of them out there. They're not a majority, not by a long shot, but there's enough of them out there to ruin it for the rest of us.
Yeah, see, I mean, walking ray of sunshine, Bob. Thank you.
You started it.
I know I started it, and I know it was a, you know, I knew that there was basis to it because, you know, I'm not a, you know, a Bible thumper by any shape, form, or fashion, but there's enough that I remember from over the years of, you know, Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and whatnot and Bible drills that I, you know, so I have enough knowledge to be somewhat dangerous, but not enough to, you know, I'm not going to go on a biblical debate, but it's just, and I know this is in prayer meeting Wednesday, but it's just exhausting as a person who has a belief in, you know, rights and wrongs and what I interpret as what Jesus is teaching truly are, because it's like,
everything, Tracy, everything. For instance, we can't possibly overpopulate the planet because God will take care of that.
Right. Well, you did say be fruitful to multiply. And so that's where you got these.
Yeah, be quick about it, too.
Buggers and all of them.
And I had a note from Monique here who said they really want to say they only want white babies, right? That's what all this bullshit, these bullshit laws are about.
Oh.
Yes, Todd.
Yikes!
Oh, God damn it! Both of you people, you and Tracy, read my damn mind all the time. This is the title of my new book: The Impact of the Decreased Fecundity of Caucasian Women on Western Politics.
Whoa.
Well, and in a minute we can get into the sex strike, because if that does not qualify for Moran goddamn Monday.
Moran Monday. But, you know, like I was telling you, time out.
I want to go back to what Monique said. They really want to say they only want white babies, right? That's what all these bullshit laws are about.
Yeah.
Okay, so it feels like that, and it's probably proven by the fact that they've always, that they've spent, you know who's really suffered from abortion? You know who's been, so it's the Negro babies that they're killing. And that's what they say. And so when Brian Kemp signed that bullshit law in Georgia, okay, he had a whole bunch of white folks around him, but right there, like a little fleck of black pepper in a pile of salt, was none other than Velveeta King.
Jesus,
or Altoid King. I forget what her Velveeta King. Yeah, she's the white sheep of the King family.
Whew, Lord, they cannot stand her.
And she has been grifting this grift, God, for 20 years. Because, like I said, it comes down to economics. They have a ton of money, and they really don't mind sharing it. As long as you'll do their bidding, it doesn't matter if you've got an IQ below fucking freezing. They will write you the big old golf size money check.
Those thick checks that they write when you go in front, like when you win the lotto, and they write, you know, and the check is this huge check that you know it takes two people to hold up.
Yeah, that one. Now, what were you saying, Todd?
I was saying not to cut Tracy off, but. Monique is right on the point. I wasn't being funny about fecundity, because if we remember, we were talking about that like maybe a year or two ago, and then the mass shooter in New Zealand, that was in his manifesto. And remember, the Nazi youth, they used to send those kids to camp to propagate.
Yeah, and you know this, and this all, and you know, there's all kinds of stuff that scares them, the fact that, you know. We are. The entire population of the United States is a rounding error to China. For people who know what a goddamn rounding error is, we are that. And so so they get all worked up about that. White supremacy is down at the foundational level of all of this anti-abortionism, okay? anti-abortionism and anti-evolution go hand in hand, and they are both founded on racism. Plain and simple.
Well, it's like I was, you know, like I was talking to you the other day about my conversation with my brother, and because he lives in Georgia, and we were talking about this, you know, the law that has, you know, signed into, you know, that law about the 6 week, you know, if you don't have an abortion within 6 weeks, you're fucked. And so my brother was going, but I said, you know, I said, this country, basically, like you, Monique just said about, I said, these people basically, the only thing that they care about, what did I say? Because he, when I, whatever I said, he thought it was so fierce that he wrote it down. He's like, wait, repeat that shit. I'm like, these people, the only thing they want this country is going to be about, is this is about whiteness, guns, and Jesus.
All of which is true.
This is what America, this is all these people care about. And so when we got to talk about, he's like, what is this big deal about this, with these anti-abortion laws? And like we said, I said, because, you know, he's like, is there any money in it? And at first I said, no. And then you brought it to me. And it's like, fuck yes, there's money in it. You know, the religious
is. And remember, it is self-replenishing, and it is supported by you. And we support it, okay? We, the people of the United States, support it through the tax code with the 501c3 tax exempt designation, even though the entire anti-abortion movement is nothing but political.
Exactly. There's no religion about this. Because again, if they really, you know, again, if these people are really pro-life, we would, you know, because when I told my brother, I said, yeah, these motherfuckers claim to be pro-life, but they chomp at the bit for, what is it? Oh, the death penalty. He's like, oh, shit.
Their position cannot withstand a single second of earnest scrutiny, but most of the people aren't interested in performing that scrutiny. And so you've got a batch of people who believe in a demon-haunted world, and then you've got a batch of desperately undereducated Americans who will believe anybody wearing a goddamn tie.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of rightness or wrongness, and who are subject to having their opinion swayed not by intellect but by emotion, and that leaves the Tracys, the Todds, the Bobs, the Brother Deacon Aces, and the Rons in Raleigh, and the Frozen North, and the Moniques, and the entire rest of the Horn family community congregation at a distinct disadvantage.
An incredible disadvantage, and it gets to that point where you're like, what's the entire fuck? I mean, we have people, I mean, okay, I'm a Christian, I do believe in the second coming, how for never, the Bible, you know, it clearly states, we do not know the time of the day or the hour, you know, like I said, don't remember the exact verse, when Jesus is coming back. I don't need these assholes who could give a fuck about Israel, really, trying to make, you know, the second coming come, because they're like, well, when the Jews return to Israel, Jesus is coming back. So these motherfuckers are doing their best to come try to have us in an Armageddon situation because Jesus. And they believe this shit. And I'm like, it's like, you want war for Iran? You want Israel and Iran to go at it? You want the Muslims and all? I'm like, holy fucking God. And I wouldn't give a fuck about these people other than the fact Mike Pompeo and everybody else that is in this fucking administration who would be more than happy. They should get hard thinking about when Jesus is coming and how to make Jesus come back when they feel like Jesus is coming back.
And I know that's true because you've probably seen it in congregations, so have I. People get weepy about that great getting up morning. Okay.
Yeah.
Go, Todd.
Show your tape. Now, I've been hearing this. I have not seen the tape, but apparently it's true about this dominionist mindset that Pompeo has. I've heard people say he said some frightening things, like bring it on, like let's just pop this Middle Eastern pimple and be done with it. And in addition, how is it that this rumor, what is this thing about, I don't see him graduating at the top of his class, frankly. I just don't see that.
Oh, that's, that's in his bio, that's in every mention. When he was nominated to run the CIA, it was all over the place, and then it was all over the place all over again when he was nominated to be Secretary of State. And the funny, and of course, you know, all of this happened, he was confirmed by a Republican Senate that wouldn't care if he showed up with horns and a tail as long as he was wearing a goddamn maggot hat.
Uh-huh.
And if there's anybody out there in the Horn Family Community Congregation who's really good with Photoshop or, you know, graphics and what, a picture of Mike Pompeo with horns and a tail wearing a maggot hat would be pretty goddamn good.
That would be beautiful. And we remember, I could not understand when he got appointed to the head of the CIA. I was like, this guy is, if he was a Koch political hack from Kansas. Where did he get the clout, the credibility to be head of the CIA?
Well, he does. I mean, because he was in the Army. I mean, it's a low bar. But you have to remember that when he was just running as a hack member of the House, he said all kinds of shit about the Second Coming and the end of time and the end days and how, you know, we were going to have to battle Satan and Satan's army would be Muslim. It's all out there.
See, that's that Second Crusade type of nonsense.
There was a children's crusade, and you know, I get, as far as I can tell, Mike Pompeo wants to lead the morons' crusade. And then the dirty little secret behind all of this is that these people are talking about wanting to get their war on, but once again, they're hypnotized by the idea that they can just bomb the shit out of, you know, they can just slaughter the shit out of Iran from 50,000 feet or with cruise missiles or whatnot and never have to really do, you know, do any of the dirty business of war. They can just rely on a bunch of 19-year-olds to push a button when the general says fire. And it doesn't work that way.
I don't think it works like that.
And the fact of the matter is, the United States of America got our ass beat in Iraq, but nobody will admit it. We got our asses beat in Iraq, and if we had been winning in Afghanistan, we wouldn't still be there. We're not that good. I know, sporting analogies, and all the really good progressives are like, oh, he's such a Philistine, I can't believe he's talking about sports again. But we're like that preseason number one that goes into the first game and they play, some little pissant Division II squad and beat them 72-0, and they're certainly living up to their rankings. And then the next thing you know, you're playing a school that's actually, you know, in your own league, and you get your own ass beat 72-0. I think, the classic example, I think about when Michigan got beaten by, what was it, Appalachian State some many years back. Well, this can't be. This was a fluke. No, they just weren't that goddamn good. And we're not.
Kind of like how the Lakers got LeBron James, and it's like, he's like, you know, and here, I'm trying to do a sports analogy, so bear with me because, you know.
We'll work with you.
But look at what happened with the Lakers. Everybody was, ooh, LeBron, he's going to bring them back up to, you know, Showtime and blah, 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 fucking blah. Yeah, LeBron didn't do shit. It was so bad that Magic Johnson stepped out.
Well, because that's the thing. Showtime was not just Magic. Showtime was Magic and
Kareem.
And you know what? You know what else Showtime was? Showtime was Kurt Rambis.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I mean, you know, those, and that's, you know, and you can talk about Army of One, but anyway, These dumb, all I'm saying is these dumbasses want to go in and get their war on, and we do not live up to our hype. I mean, they're well-trained. They are professional in most senses of the word. But they are not, we don't, for starters, we don't have legions, okay? You want to start conquering big chunks of the planet, you better have legions. Oh, and by the way,
we don't have any allies right now.
Yeah.
Now, Bob and Tracy, the question this morning in the Washington Journal was, how confident are you with the leadership of the Pentagon / military? Okay.
You watched the Washington Journal tonight, this morning? Oh.
That's his job,
well,
Tracy.
It just comes on. And so, you know, it devolves into a pro-Trump, anti-Trump type of argument. But what you're saying is absolutely true. Now, we're not that good. All right, here's a question. Now, all of us, we're around the same age. If we remember all these naval accidents we've had in the past 2 years. We have ships. I don't ever remember ships running into each other when I was growing up. Ever. Ever. Did anybody else?
Nope. Nope.
Mm-mm. No.
All these people running. Yeah, it's like, wait.
I mean, maybe they weren't. Maybe they weren't reporting it, but I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it's the case. So, and then we rewind. The first military excursion by Trump was a failure. It wasn't Nigeria. It might have been Nigeria.
Oh, no. That was the Kenyan Muslim usurper's fault because that was already planned. No. That was the Yemeni misadventure.
The Yemeni miss, right? That's true. Yemen has been going on, but the Niger incident where John Kelly had to apologize to the widow, Trump was advised don't do it. You know, the odds are not with us, but he said no. We need to do this. See, okay. So that was number one. We have a number of military failures in front of us right now, as it looks, but. This whole waving the flag thing, we have to understand this is projection again. He is masquerading as a populist when really he's feeding the globalists and the capitalists. He's still making deals with China. Why is he doing that? For his family. They're making deals with China, trademarks. You know, but this makes no sense. This makes no sense. These people are out of control. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay, because I'm going to go off on another one, too. There were a couple of really famous books this century written by the same author. The first one, and it was called Guns, Germs, and Steel. And it was an attempt to explain how the world got this way and why. And the second one was called Collapse. And it was a series of case studies in why civilizations collapse. And they were both written by a guy named Jared Diamond. He's a geography professor emeritus at UCLA. Well, he has a new book out, and it's called Upheaval. He has a knack for titles. And I'm going to try to get my hands on it. And essentially, he's predicting a 49% chance that the world as we know it ends by 2050. And that's sobering as hell. He'll probably be proven wrong because whatever, you know, as long as there's a couple of people, as long as there's a couple of fucking capitalists, money grubbing away over the last scraps, that will constitute civilization continuing. But history teaches us that isn't an effective metric because, the Ottoman Empire toddled on for hundreds of years after it was effectively in a state of entropy. And the best the best example would be the Constantinople and Byzantium, which was busy falling apart and just hanging on by the barest of threads for 400 or 500 years before May of 1453 rolled around and Mehmed II overran it. But here's the telling part about, and this is history nerdy, but here's the interesting thing. When Mehmed II overran it, he immediately declared himself the Kaiser of Rome, the Caesar of Rome. He didn't see it as Rome having fallen. He just saw it as Rome getting another new ruler. But in fact, that civilization collapsed. The knowledge that had been largely preserved in Arabic languages was carried out of collapsing Constantinople and forms the basis for the rise of the Renaissance in Western Europe. Western Europe's awakening from the depths of the of and knowledge bereftness of the Middle Ages.
Putin has planted his flag over here. Yeah, he owns us. This is the Trump-Putin presidency. But I love your story because that's that landmass. You know, that's that magical landmass. That's why I got nervous when you brought that shit up, I don't know, a few times ago when we talked. That's like a big damn deal. That landmass, Turkey, that's the only reason we deal with those people. They're duplicitous as hell. You know, but we're not going to leave that base. How can you leave that base? We can't leave that base. People have been fighting over that land forever.
By the way, in terms of ships crashing, a couple of notes. Mark writes in and says, Russians have been able to breach GPS aiming capabilities of Ukrainian artillery, actually causing them to fire at fellow Ukrainian artillery positions. Ship crashes, no reach. Not even a challenge. And Robert in Australia pointed out the Australian aircraft carrier Melbourne, 1945 to 1983, managed to sink two Australian ships. When it ran over them, it cut both ships in half and both ships sunk. And Jimmy in the Great Northwest points out, these so-called Christians want to be the second coming of the Knights Templars. At least that's how I see them. I don't think that's completely out of hand.
Me either.
But the problem is when we start talking about these maniacs, there's too many people in this country who says, "Oh, I don't even believe all that old shit. That don't mean nothing to me." Well, it may not mean anything to you, but that doesn't mean that they're not coming for you, that they don't intend to overturn the government. Did y'all happen to see that one little Supreme Court decision that came out today?
No.
No, what happened?
On its face, it would seem to be it would seem to have absolutely no relevance to much of anything. But it does. The 5-person majority, you know, Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh, they formed up a 5-person majority, and they overturned a 40-year-old precedent. Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas authored the decision. And the minority, the four sane members of the Supreme Court, pointed out right away that we know exactly why they did what they did, and that it is scary as shit. It was a case that had nothing to do with right to choose or anything like that. But it had to do with how this majority in the court treats precedent.
Uh-oh.
And Slappy Thomas just said, fuck your precedent. Really? I mean, I wish I was kidding.
That's dangerous stuff. You know?
And I think it was Breyer who wrote the dissent. And he said, you know, they're telling you, and you'd better pay attention. Now, I'm looking for it. I had it here. I got to find it again.
They're letting you know they're going down that road. And in Montgomery County, the Bill Cosby case. Let's remember. And you know, that judge in Montgomery County, Norristown, PA, Philly suburbs, okay? Cheltenham, that's Norristown. I mean, that's Montgomery County. They had to use a case against Bill Cosby that was settled. That woman had settled with him. I'm not saying Bill Cosby's innocent at all. That's not what I'm saying. This is just about the law. When you have a settlement, that's it. He set a precedent there. How can you overturn a settlement? When you have all these other women accusing him of things, take another case. Take an easy case that wasn't settled. Why would you take a case that's settled and overturn a settlement? So back to you.
Well, for anyone wanting to chase it down, the name of the case today is Nevada versus Hall. And it has to do with state sovereignty. And without getting out into the weeds on that, the fact of the matter is, there was precedent that was 41 years old, and what Justice Stephen Breyer said is, it is dangerous to overrule a decision only because five members of a later court come to agree with earlier dissenters on a difficult legal question. Today's decision can only cause one to wonder which cases the court will overrule next. And what they were doing, what he was doing when he said that, is saying, I know exactly which case is coming next, and so do you.
Griswold.
Roe.
Roe v. Wade.
Casey. Everything. Planned Parenthood versus Casey. But it's worth noting that by, like this Ohio bill referencing, you know, with the implementation debacle, verbal debacle there.
That shit was fun.
That's taking aim at Griswold. The only thing that protects Griswold right now is that it also covers condoms. And they're not that hardcore. They're just the Republican base now. There's plenty of Republicans who'd say, "Well, fuck Griswold. Men don't need no rubbers." And them queers sure don't need them, because then the plague will take them. And that's just reality.
Well, look, the debtors' courts are coming back. And then, you know, and they have been seizing people's assets on the road. They have these card readers where they'll take the money off of your damn debit card. You know, so what's next? Are we marching? Are we running to fascism now? They had Nikes on?
No, we're there. We're there. You know, fascism isn't just this thing that's monolithic and like a Terry Jones animation from Monty Python, a big foot coming down on Bambi or whatever. Just... It happens, and then it grows, and like anything else, it evolves, and it changes, and it modifies. And never for the good. It's here now. That's why we are in constitutional crisis. One of the things that Donnie Dipshit did this weekend was to tweet about, there's no constitutional crisis, our economy's doing great. Huh? What?
Huh? You hear him. And he repeated it on Joy's show. He was like, no, we're not there yet because this, that.
But they know what they neglected to say are the things that, that you have talked on your show, you've talked about. When your subordinates deflect or refuse to follow through your instructions as a president, that's a constitutional crisis.
When the Constitution can no longer or can no longer deal with or lacks a mechanism to deal with a situation as it currently exists, that's how you get a constitutional crisis. Constitutional crises also occur, Todd, when you get to a place where everybody isn't on the same page in terms of believing the Constitution actually matters anymore. That's what I've described in the past as my Tinkerbell theory of the Constitution.
Ooh.
If you don't believe, you know, a Tinkerbell's dying, y'all. Clap, clap. If you don't clap, Tinkerbell will die. Well, what happens when nobody claps and Tinkerbell just fucking dies? You know, when precedent doesn't matter to the Supreme Court, see you later, Tinkerbell. You want to be buried or cremated?
Well, you know what? They're making their own constitutional convention. In a way, they're just redoing the books.
Sure. And then they want...
Does that make any sense?
And then they still want a convention of the states. And periodically I remind people that they are perilously close to getting one.
That's why they're not talking about it. Oh, they're close. They know they're close. They are so close. And that's why we have to really, we have to fight. We cannot ignore the Senate. We cannot ignore the Senate. That's why Kamala Harris needs to shut her ass up and get back to work in the Senate. She's great, whatever, that's great, but get back to work in the Senate. She's good at that. You know, keep your job. You're not going to win. Just keep your head down and keep your job. We don't have any time to, you know, messing around right now. This is perilous. These are perilous times. This is no time for bullshit. Tracy, you tell Penny she has to be quiet, damn it.
I do not have Penny. That's why I have her. I'm in the grocery store listening to you guys.
I just wanted to hear you laugh because you didn't get it.
You know, I hate you, right? I really. Look, trust me, I'll chime in on if trust and believe that if you guys say something that I feel is stupid, or not stupid, but is worth me chiming in on. I'm going
to
chime in.
Okay, speaking of chiming, let's take a look, because I mentioned it at the beginning of the conversation. Oh, and by the way, that $25 challenge is still out there from Charlene, a founding member of the Sorority of Leans. So if somebody would jump in, and it would be awesome if it was somebody we haven't heard from. I'd love to say a new name on the program. But if somebody will match Charlene's challenge, she'll throw in another 25, which is awesome, which would get us down below the 300 mark, which would be good for tomorrow. I don't know how this thing got any traction, but it did. And I understand as a pasty-faced, doughy old white guy, where things like this are concerned, I am well past my sell-by date. Maybe I should leave it alone. But this idea that, and naturally, an actor would come up with this idea because you recall the people with who've read some done some reading. You're familiar with the Greek comedy Lysistrata, and Lysistrata is set during the Peloponnesian War. And it is high farce. It is broad comedy. I mean, you could not produce Lysistrata on network television and not run afoul of the FCC. Because, like, there's women walking around the stage with great big 4-foot strap-on dicks and things like that. Okay. It first went up in 411 BCE in Athens. And the premise,
Broadway.
Well, the Broadway of its time. And it was the idea was that the women of both Sparta and Athens were sick of the Peloponnesian War. And so the idea Aristophanes had was, what if all the women on both sides of the war said, screw it, we're not screwing it anymore until the war is over? And in the middle of a war that would ultimately destroy the Athenian democracy, they, you know, people laughed and laughed. By the way, the country that put on Lysistrata lost the goddamn war.
Hmm.
But the basic idea was that women would withhold sex until men did their bidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, naturally, an actor, Alyssa Milano, came up with this idea, let's have a sex strike. She tweeted, until women have legal control over our own bodies, we just cannot risk pregnancy. Join me by not having sex until we get bodily autonomy back. Now, let's remember, Alyssa Milano does not live in Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio, and she is most notably not dirt poor. Okay? These bills, these stupid fetal heartbeat bills now exist in Iowa, Kentucky, Mississippi, North Dakota, and Ohio. And Georgia. Alabama's working on it. Now, what makes me a little crazy is the idea that Baptist women are going to stand shoulder to shoulder and link arms with a godless, heathen, feminist, liberal like Alyssa Milano.
And don't forget who played a witch on television.
Well, yeah, obviously, she's going to hell. Because they're not. Baptist women ascribe to the teachings of the Baptist Church, which say that wives must submit to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. This, I believe, can be found in the third chapter of Philippians. No, never mind. Who cares? What? That joke never gets old.
Not right for that one, Bob.
Where's the cowboy?
It's hilarious.
But this is just madness. So what she's saying is, hey, you liberals and progressive women, don't have sex with liberal and progressive men in solidarity with women in these stand states, and that'll show them. And I just kind of went, I don't think this logic, I mean, bless her heart and everything, I don't think she understands much about these maggot stand states. Because remember, these fundamentalist religions teach women that you give it up when he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want it and he doesn't, too bad.
Too bad.
And if you won't give it up and he beats the shit out of you, you have to forgive him because it's your fault because you wouldn't give it up.
And she's not going to the police, and the police ain't going to do nothing anyway because that's her husband.
Right. And the chief of police and the husband are both deacons down at the Salem Church of Christ.
See, Tracy, this is how it rolls down here in the deep south where I am. All right. The first Baptist churches were all of the wealthy folk in town, all the, you know, white, obviously white, not obviously, but
the white folk of stature and wannabe stature, they go to the First Baptist Church. That's like, I don't know how they figured that shit out, but that's just the way shit works down here. The sheriff, everybody of stature, you know, in the white community, that's where they go. And then you got the little peripheral other religions, and they go where the hell they go, Pentecostal, you know, this and that, Church of Christ, all that nonsense. And then black folk go, you know, different Baptist church. You know, it's mostly Baptist, mostly. But yes, like I had a white little young white girl as my neighbor for years, and she was from Connecticut. We used to hang together all the time because we were like, oh God, these people are weird. We drank a bunch of wine and laugh. And she told me she tried to take her kids to church, and she said, oh my God, they tried to redress me. It was like they were trying to brainwash me. That she told me this shit. And I was like, oh my God, really? She was like, yes. You know, so I'm getting this shit firsthand. Like, really, this is what they tried to do. Then she got pregnant, and they sent her to a quote-unquote, like, counseling place, you know, because she really did not want to she didn't want to carry the pregnancy through. It turned out to be one of these places where they try to counsel you out of doing that. And she was pissed off. Oh, she got pissed. And then that sent her into a depression. It's just a mess. But they met, and they tried. I'm telling you, this shit, I've seen this shit up firsthand. Am I exaggerating, Bob?
No, not even a little bit.
Damn. Wow. It's scary. I was like, no. I kept saying, no, no. She was like, no, I'm telling you.
And I had another reason why I will never leave California.
You better stay where you are. This ain't no joke. I'm up out of here as soon as possible. As soon as it's feasible, I'm out of here. They can have it. I'm telling you right now. It looks nice, but
Where are you going to?
I haven't decided, but it won't be here. But it's probably going to be west. It's not going to be here. It's going to be someplace safe. You know, this is just not. It's getting worse here. Because these people are congealing. They're hardening. They feel under siege. You know,
yeah,
that's
the part that crawls all over me like poison ivy. They're the majority, and yet somehow they're the ones who have the grievances.
They're aggrieved, just like the attorney general, and you have to understand the president. He was just aggrieved because he was being spied on, and I mean, what can you expect? I'm like, wait a minute. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
That shit, I was just ungodly pissed off when I saw that shit. And that's when I said I needed to look up a word, because you had me going off last time we talked. Tracy, I had to look, I wanted to look up a word. I wanted to look up what, you know, Latin words for pig, because I kept looking at the attorney general. I was like, he really does look like a pig. And he acts like a fucking asshole. He looks like a pig. And I was like, Pygmalion, that's too good, no. So it ends up, guess what? It's so funny. This is hillbilly. Sweet! That is fucking Latin. If you break it down, that is a fucking Latin almost for saying pig. So when you hear the hillbilly go, sweet! Yeah, absolutely. And the Bible, where's your Bible? Do you have a new cabinet for your Bible yet? Bible?
No. The place for that might have been otherwise occupied by a Bible is occupied by the Oxford English Dictionary.
That's
your Bible. That's what he's talking about. That's your Bible.
Thank you, Tracy.
Your dictionary is your Bible, Bob.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What he's talking about.
Because your words are right. You see, that, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's where I was going with that. Right, because I really had to look that up, so... And I was thinking about it, like, I wouldn't let anybody get near that unless they had the white cotton gloves and a little, like...
Yeah, you're talking about Seuss.
Seuss, right.
S-U-S. The other word being, the other word I remember from school being porcus.
Well, anyway, looking at his just smug, and he's turning out to be just as awful as I thought, worse. And I thought he would. He's smug. I mean, he's so smug, man. He made that joke. What the fuck is he joking about? This shit is not funny. that portends for bad things, my friend.
Yeah, worrisome stuff. Worrisome.
We're living, you know, as much as... Huh? Yeah?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to do that.
Brought up what?
You know who.
What did you bring up?
The coin girl. All right.
Well, no. You know, when I was, you know, because when you mentioned it to me the other day, Bob, about the, you know, the withholding of sex, I had no idea who... try to implement.
There's that word.
See?
Properly used.
See what I did there? You see what I did there? I had no idea who was trying to implement this bullshit. And then today, I found out it was Alyssa Milano. Like, again, this is a white woman of privilege. Right? And
right.
Again, she lives, I don't know if she lives out here in L.A. She probably does. But it's going to be easy for a woman, a liberal woman, white woman, to withhold sex from her man. You can't do that down south.
You know what else you can't do in Alabama? Even if you're withholding sex, you can't go somewhere and buy a vibrator.
What?
Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. You can't. So I would, if I wanted a vibrator, could I have one shipped in at least?
Maybe. But if you get caught with it.
Oh my God! So they're policing women's bedside drawers now. So, in other words, if you go to the store in Alabama and spend an inordinate amount of money on batteries, they're coming for you?
Just like if it was Sudafed.
Again, like you said, her heart was in the right place. It really was, and I'm not gonna, you know, bash her for it.
Right, hooray for some knowledge of classical theater.
Right. But okay. Let's just play around with this, and say, well, okay, women are gonna withhold sex from their husbands or their boyfriends. We live in the age of on-call booty calls. Okay, a booty call is just a fucking tweet away. You don't even have to pick up the phone anymore to get some... Hit it and quit it. Because I was about to say something really vulgar, and I'm like, I'm not going to go there. But if you just want to get, you know, to hit it and quit it, motherfuckers don't even have to take you out for drinks anymore like they had to do back in the day. Or at least to dinner or whatever, or a cup of coffee. You get somebody and you swipe left or right, and the next thing you know, somebody's knocking on your door, and you're gonna get laid.
You know what's right. You know what else is sad? Netflix and chill.
Right.
Well, I tell you what, that sure does sound romantic as shit, doesn't it? I mean, it. But the,
I mean, I can't even,
but then again, the other side of that, Tracy.
Over the weekend, but we're, huh?
Netflix and chill.
And chill.
Oh.
So in other words, you're just gonna come. You're not even gonna order a pizza or anything. More than likely,
no.
Maybe they'll get a pizza.
You're just laying up in the
but
house.
But then it's gonna come. You're laying up in the house, and if the mood strikes, you know, we'll do a little something. But for the most part, motherfuckers, I'm like, these are some okay.
Yeah.
I cannot wrap my head around Netflix and chill. I mean, I do Netflix and chill every day, but I'm a grown-ass woman in a committed relationship. So Netflix and chill is just Tuesday night. You know what I'm saying? That's, you know, but I am not out there. I would hate to be a millennial or anybody in the dating world now, because after, you know, we are all three of us of a certain age, okay? And in this group, I am the only female of the group right now in this conversation. So I remember a time you know, in the distant, you know, in the far past, you know, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and gas was still $1 a gallon, where, you know, there was such a thing as carton. I mean, the guy would actually call you and have a conversation, and you would talk and all this sort of stuff, and they would ask you out on a date. Now, don't get it wrong. Back in the day, because I didn't really want a relationship, I was the queen of hit it and quit it. Trust and believe. It was like, I'm horny. I want some dick. All right, let's do what I got to do.
8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
Look, Scottery went down the Jism Trail. I have never heard
that. With the Jism Trail. You can't put that off on me. You know, so no, don't even.
This is dinner in the mountain time zone. Going down the old Jism Trail, that was Eastern. That resets the clock.
Right. So, but it's like, you know, but at least there was a phone call. There was no such thing as texting back in the day. At least a phone call was involved, okay? But it's like, God damn, I mean, Netflix and fucking chill? Jesus Christ. You know, even my son, who, you know, just turned 31 a week or so ago, he's not dating right now because he's like, I'm looking for, he wants to have a somewhat decent job and stuff like that. Because, see, my son is he's not a hit it and quit it young man. He is not.
Because he was raised right.
Right. And if he wants to be, you know, if he's interested in a girl, he wants to be interested in this girl to the point where I'm going to date. And if I'm not going to come to the table without something to offer. Period. That's just the way he is. So I probably will never have grandchildren at this point, but that's okay. I'll get over it. No, I won't.
Oh man, I can. If you're saying it that way on this program, I can. The guilt rays must be unbearable.
I don't do it to him often, but I do. I want to. I begged him to promise me when he was younger because I was very young when I had Alex. I was 21 when he was born, and I'm like, please don't make me a grandmother at like 35, like the rest of the women in my family, you know. And, I mean, not that I even really have to worry about that, right? But I'm going to be 53 this. I said, you know, wait until I'm in my 50s at least. But
waiting time's over.
Then when I was, right, and I didn't realize back then that we were going to be in the kind of economy and the kind of debt and all the stuff that you know, millennials are going through right now, to be able to start a family, to be able to graduate from college without being in a ridiculous amount of debt and all so forth, so on, and, you know, whatnot. So, you know, but I'm like, shit, if I had known then what I know now, I would have said, okay, you know what? Let's see, I'm 35. That makes you, I'm like, okay, I'll be 40. Okay, that's fine. Go ahead and have me some grandbabies because, you know, I'm cool with that. But Jesus.
Well, we've got some input from Monique. Monique says people are more in love with their phone than a conversation, and Lord forbid an actual book. I'm a Gen Xer. It sucks out here. Turning 40.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, that's the thing. You and Monique are at opposite ends of the Gen X spectrum.
Am I a Gen Xer?
Yeah, you're an Xer. Agnes is an Xer. Yeah.
So 66 puts me at Gen X.
Yeah.
I'm on the
cusp of Gen X or at the very ass end of the baby boom. So I'm choosing like forefront of Gen X, because I got more in common with Gen X than I do boomers.
We're baby boomers. Fuck no.
Yeah. I mean, I, for instance, did not fuck up the 2016 election.
No, we did not.
No. That was cold. That was cold.
Wait. Does that? Are we part of the Pepsi generation, or are we too old? Well,
No. I'm Coke all the way.
But that whole campaign.
No. I remember, generation. But I mean. Yeah, kind of. Nah, I don't know. I mean, I'm demographically, as Dan Fisher has pointed out on a number of occasions,
I'm now demographically irrelevant.
Wait a minute. Tracy's talking about the Pepsi Challenge. All right.
No, she's talking about the Pepsi Generation.
Oh, the Pepsi
Generation. No, it's not the Pepsi Challenge. It was the Pepsi Generation.
Okay. Pepsi can't I'm sorry. There is
no. No, they can't. I mean, I've had this. Remember, we've had this conversation before, Bob, where, like, when I go to Harrah's, the Harrah's casinos.
Oh, shit. Wait a minute.
They are in league with the devil.
Wikipedia says the Pepsi Generation was the theme of an advertising campaign for Pepsi-Cola that launched in 1963 as the result of a slogan contest.
What?
So there you go, Bob.
Damn.
Pepsi-Cola hits the spot. 12 full ounces, that's a lot. Twice as much for a nickel, too. Pepsi-Cola is the drink for you.
Man, that's a hell of a fucking
quiz,
no question. Damn.
Yeah, that stinks.
Like I said, with the whole thing with Pepsi, I'm a Coke person as well. I mean, I like Pepsi, but when it comes to mixing drinks, because I'm going to Vegas in June.
Pepsi is too sweet. And Pepsi can't even do
it. It's horrible. Oh, my God. It is horrible. But if you go to a Harrah's Casino,
all the young people
drink Pepsi.
They do drink Pepsi. Don't let people drink Pepsi.
Well, you know what? I found myself drinking it, too. You know why? Because whoever distributes it around here has the common consideration to do caffeine-free diet Pepsi in a bottle. I can't tell you if I have ever seen caffeine-free diet Coke in a bottle.
Probably not. Well, I mean,
Or caffeine-free Coke Zero.
But yeah. What I was trying to say about Harrah's, it's like you're sitting at the black deck table, the poker table, playing and I ordered a rum and coke, Malibu rum and coke, and I'm drinking it. I'm like, why does this taste so funky? And then I find out that it's not Coke, but Pepsi. And see, back in a million years ago when I took a marketing class, you know that I guess they don't do it like they used to, but if you went to a restaurant or a bar or whatever, and you ordered a rum and coke or anything with coke, any coke product, and that store or restaurant or whatever did not sell coke but sold Pepsi, if they did not say we do not sell coke, will a Pepsi do? They would get sued because you are baiting and switching or whatever the fuck.
That's
you
really
are telling
true.
People, yes. I don't know if they, like I said.
Okay,
the
things this community latches onto. Monique says, Tracy talking Michael Jackson hair on fire, right? Because I remember that.
Yes, exactly.
I have gotten on the wrong side of Ron and Raleigh. Excuse me. Dead in the middle of the baby boom. Don't lay that 2016 shit on me. I've lived through too much shit to have that cross to bear. I knew I'd get on the wrong side, and I need to go back to the sex strike thing for a minute. Hang on, Bob, because this comes from Darlene in Connecticut. There were the Togolese women of and the women of Liberia that did sex strikes, and they worked. Men even protested with the women of Togo, who all wore white, I believe. These strikes were aimed at dictatorial rule in his recent history. Granted, the U.S. is a big country, and it likely won't happen here for the reasons you cite, but I think it still highlights the double standard and hypocrisy of powerful men trying to have their cake and eat it, too. It's in the same vein as some women legislators trying to get bills passed requiring men to go through certain invasive medical examinations if they want to get Viagra or to criminalize the waste of sperm through masturbation and so forth. Yeah, it's farcical, but it gets the point across about the fact that men also want sex, but do not want to be on the hook for a baby every time they get it on, and men in this country have not really stepped up to the plate in sufficient numbers to stand with women on their bodily integrity, all of which is absolutely true. But remember, there are segments of society where it's not just not okay for women to engage in contraception, it's also not okay for men to either. Even but the thing is, the people who adhere to that shit are not people who would do it in the first place. And I don't know. Maybe Alyssa Milano's thing was tongue in cheek.
You know what I'm hearing from my female friends who are womenists, not feminists, but womenists.
Wait,
womenists.
Okay.
Yeah, womenists.
No, because at first I thought you said my female friends who are women. I'm like, wait, what? But you said womenists.
No. Yeah, womenists. you know, is that they're tired of the onus being on them for birth control. You know, it's like most of, you know, think about it. We have condoms. Condoms aren't 100%. You know, I'm like, well, how come you guys, because it was a nasal spray. I mean, scientists could probably figure out something for men to use that would temporarily disable the viability of semen, maybe. I mean, there's got to be a way. There's got to be. I got all kinds of, come on, I'm in a lab. There's all kinds of shit you can do. There's all kinds of things you can do.
Oh, no, the male pill, the male, the male chemical contraceptive is the holy grail of contraception. Because chemical contraception for women wreaks havoc. And I'm saying that.
Well, that's what they say. Right. Why should their bodies get all out of whack? Because I'm telling you, this is what, I mean, good friends. They're like, look, I'm tired of taking the pill.
The things that could happen to you, because I was on, even though I'm a lesbian, I still have to take birth control because of I have horribly painful periods, and they would.
I've learned.
Didn't want to bring that up.
I've learned big old long words like polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yes.
And your only hope there is some sort of hormonal therapy, so they say. And it's it's a cure commensurate with the disease.
See, like you said, they don't bring that part up about birth control.
But Darlene's right. Men need to be a hell of a lot noisier about this than we have heretofore been. And so that's why I'm trying to do my little part by talking about this and, adding my widow's mite, as it were, to the quantum of the conversation. Lest by silence I somehow be complicit. And also the fact that I was born and raised in the South, and people need to know that not all Southerners, right? Which is problematic enough to begin with. Oh, yeah, Monique wants to know if I know what the incels are. Right. And of course,
Oh, those assholes.
Yeah, they'll kill women for not fucking them.
Kill you. I mean, wasn't that the fool up in Santa Barbara? Wasn't he an incel?
Yep.
And wasn't it another one in Canada? Wasn't he an incel? It's like, look, well, see, if you would stay out of your mom's basement and learn some fucking social skills, maybe you too could get laid. Because, here's the thing. Is that that hard?
Maybe if you didn't assume that the hottest female you'd ever seen, whatever the hotness scale is the woman on planet Earth who owes you sex.
Right. Girl,
nobody owes anybody sex.
Nobody.
But then again, we're back to the origins of the conversation. In the Old Testament, God killed the shit out of a dude for not wanting to bang his dead brother's wife.
Right. But then we're also back.
The Protestant Reformation arises because the second son of a king was forced to marry the dead boy's betrothed.
Oh, that's nasty. That's just nasty.
Well, that's Catherine of Aragon and Henry VIII.
Hello.
Well, see, you filthy liberals like to take things out of context and take a little nitpick and take little pieces out of the Bible and make a big deal about it. Whatever God says is right, goddammit.
Well, see, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it.
Well, back to the about women submitting to men. I mean, I don't know, was it you? I forget who I was having a conversation with about date rape. I mean, I cannot tell you how many situations women have been in, and myself included, that I have said, no, I don't want this. And by the time, but the thing is, it's just so much easier to just submit and just lay there and just, as Seeley said it, let him do his business so I can get up and go
about
mine.
Yeah, but who wants that? That sounds like terrible sex. Who wants that?
But see, that's what I'm saying. Nobody says it was just easier, even if you said no. Because see, back then, when I was coming up, there was no such thing as date rape. There was nothing that a girl could do or say, because if you put yourself in the situation, so it wasn't rape. It was just okay, whatever. But like I said, as now it's like, you know, this is coming in a time where a man, there was no such thing as marital rape. You know, it was just the fact a woman would be in a, or a girl or a teenage girl or whatever, in my case, would be in a situation where I did not want to be in that. But, you know, you started off kissing or what have you, or the, whatever the case may be. No means no. But, you know, men don't hear that word no. And they proceed as they want. So that's what I'm saying. We, you know, so we are in situations now where you got these incels, like they said, you know, even though nobody is entitled to sex. If a woman does not want to have sex, she does the absolute positively the right to say no or not even engage or whatever the fuck she wants to do. However, when I was coming up, and any woman that's older, my age or older, you knew. There's nothing you can, no matter what you say, no means no. This is coming in, your mouth may say no, but your heart says yes. That bullshit. So that's what I'm saying. No, it wasn't a good situation. No, it wasn't great sex. But God damn it, it was just easier just to lay there and just hope that he didn't hurt you. That's the definition.
What a horror. Jesus, what a horror.
So, I mean, and so this is, you know, and this is what women have been putting up with since the beginning of fucking time. And the shit has not stopped. It's just now, you could get prosecuted for it. Because when I was
now they want the rape babies. Now they want the rape babies.
Oh, no, they don't want them. No. They don't want them. Just hold your damn horses.
They want the fetus.
Yeah, the little rape, Mama is on her damned own to raise the little rape baby, and she wouldn't have a rape baby if she didn't put herself into a position to have a rape baby. But meanwhile, the little 11-year-old girl in Ohio really is incest pregnant.
What?
Or rape pregnant, I forget which. She's 11 years old. And she is already too pregnant to have an abortion within the meaning of the law that the state of Ohio wants to enact. It is not in place yet. It is not effective yet. But God forbid some guardian ad litem goes in and says, Your Honor, I think, because you got to go to court for this kind of shit. Your Honor, I think it would be in the best interest of the child not to have a baby at 11. Because the fetus fetish crowd, and the more that we can describe these disgusting attempts at members of the human race as disgustingly as possible, the better we are. They are fetus fetishists. They don't give a damn about a baby. They don't give a damn about a mother. They are embryo enthusiasts.
that's not funny. But that's
they
crazy.
Are fallopian fanboys. I like my alliteration, as you can tell.
That's two for two. I like the second one better.
Embryo enthusiasts?
No, fallopian fanboys.
Fallopian fanboys, yeah.
Fanboys!
But they have got to be described as disgusting as they are. And I don't want to hear any of this bullshit about, well, you know, they probably help put your help put the fire out if your house was on fire. Fuck it. Stay away.
Man, 11-year-old girls, that's crazy.
She is 11 years old and she is pregnant, and it's going to be like pulling teeth to try to get her not pregnant.
I don't even know if she can survive that pregnancy. Who knows?
There was a case a few years back where they made a little girl have babies, and they were both born premature at 25 weeks, and neither of the babies survived. Let me see if I can find the latest on her. Oh, by the way, I'm told there might be a problem with the contribute button there at HeadOn.live, but the challenge is still on the table, and it's $25. Charlene will double it to $50. That'll get us below the $300 mark alongside our buddy Otto jumping in earlier this evening. It would be really helpful if we could. By the way, Tracy, you got a write on Tracy from Darlene. So, you know, you're putting them out of the park. Let's see, 11-year-old girl pregnant.
I don't know if you should be Googling that on your computer, man.
Yeah, there it is. 11 hours, let's see. This is today. This is 5 hours ago. An 11-year-old girl in Ohio raped by a 26-year-old multiple times, leaving her pregnant. The law not yet in effect would say that she would have no choice to have an abortion, but would have to carry and deliver the rapist child.
There you go.
So CBS News reached out to the Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost, who I'm sure is a fucking Republican, and he said, "Sometimes the evolution of the law requires bold steps. In the last 46 years, the practice of medicine has changed. Science has changed. Even the point of viability has changed. Only the law has lagged behind." When Mike DeWine, another goddamn Republican, signed the bill, he said, "The essential function of government is to protect the most vulnerable among us, those who don't have a choice. You know, or even eyes, or lungs. Basically sea monkeys. Government's role should be to protect sea monkeys from the beginning to the end." Yeah.
So who's paying for the young lady's therapy?
Oh, nobody. It's free market. We're free market. We're a free market capitalist republic. So she's on the hook for, yeah, fuck her. Oh, sorry. Somebody already did. You know, and most of those sleazy-ass, filthy Republican men in Ohio are probably 11 years old, huh? I bet that was good. What do you think?
Oh, God, man, come on.
They're Republicans, Todd!
Jesus
how many Christ. How many times do they have to get caught doing that shit? That's how they are. That's who they are. This is the Denny Green clip. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Oh, it was one for the ages. Let me see here. Yeah. They are who we thought they were. This was 2006, October 16th.
Do in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were.
Bang. They are who we thought they were.
And that's what we are.
Yeah. I mean, we need to quit toe dancing around this idea that the Republican Party isn't a bunch of misogynistic, sick, fetishized freaks. You don't You don't introduce legislation like this unless you are fundamentally sick.
I can't imagine putting keystrokes. Keystrokes to even crank out some legislation like that. But these are the same people that cheer to let them die. He was in no health care. Let them die. What if they have cancer? Let them die.
Let them die. Yeah. Jesus didn't heal them. Fuck them.
What in the world?
And we talk about it, Todd and Tracy. But I swear. I think that there's something inside us that resists acknowledging that they are who we thought they were. We don't want to think about a third of this country being willing to kill the other third while the other third watches. Who wants to live in that country? But we do. We don't want to, you go down south and you know, God, you're in South Carolina, Todd. They got beautiful beaches, good food, some lovely people. But when you turn your back on them, they're reaching out to these 501c3 tax exempt organizations and taking that big old money check, and the next thing you know, they're introducing legislation that the 501c3s have already written about things that they don't understand, but they're making a damn fortune pumping that shit out there. And if you're really cynical about it, then you realize that these assholes know that most of these things are going to get overturned, but it's okay because they go back to the rubes and they say, look, we got so close. And the only real question I have is, what are these bastards going to do when they finally win? What are they going to do when Roe gets overturned? What are they going to do when the Alabama law and the Georgia law and the North Dakota law and the Ohio law and the Kentucky law and every state that follows them goes up to the Supreme Court and Brett Kavanaugh writes for the majority and says, we have to speak up for the embryos.
And they can't take care of all those babies.
What are they going to do then?
And you got all these babies running around.
And see, there's, you know, some mama of some little girl who coat hangered herself, in an alley somewhere, is not going to go to her nearest gun store where you can get a gun easier than you can a fishing license and go and blow the brains out of one of these fucking politicians that introduced this shit. That ain't going to happen because we don't operate that way on this side. But they do.
Roll over and take.
They blow up. They blow up women's reproductive health clinics. They kill the doctors that take care of women. They've been doing it for a generation. But if they succeed, what happens to all the money they were raising? That industry dries up, and suddenly people have to get a damn decent job. And then all of a sudden, the embryo enthusiasts and the fetus fetishists, they fucking stay home on election day. Because this is the only issue that brings some of these goobers out from behind the baseboards.
Yeah, but the problem is, once that precedent is overturned, it's not going to redo it. That's it. We're in trouble. Ruth Bader is hanging on by a thread.
And I never thought we'd see John Roberts as the moderate.
Well, he wasn't very moderate today, Todd.
No, he wasn't.
He jumped in. He jumped in right alongside those. Right alongside those fiends. And I'm going to say something here that's probably going to come across the wrong way, and I apologize in advance. But I don't know. Don't know another way to say it. But I hope somebody out there has that Christopher Pike chair set up for when her body will no longer support Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, beep. You know, beep once for I agree. Beep twice right. for I disagree.
Right.
Because, well,
I can't believe she's battling. If you ever have ever known anyone with pancreatic cancer, they usually just kills people, just outright. You're done. I mean, most people. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long.
No.
No, it doesn't take long. Well, damn it, man. Tracy, how do you feel?
It's
are you enlightened now? Are you happy?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what kind of a question?
I'm
are you happy now?
I'm over fucking joy, man.
Yeah, just a little ray of sunshine.
I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, sun's not even down out
I'm
there
so
yet,
happy.
Tracy.
Yeah. Then I'm having burritos for dinner.
I was going to say, if I was out there in the Pacific time zone, I'd be going for ice cream here in about a few minutes.
Oh, speaking of ice cream, I tried the stout with the.
The Haagen-Dazs spirit stout with pretzel bits.
Mm-hmm. It's really strong. I mean, because you know I'm not a big beer drinker, really, but. It's really chocolatey because of the stout with the but it's a chocolate base.
Oh, it's a chocolate ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still. I have assayed several stores, and I have yet to find the amaretto cherry.
No, I haven't.
But the bourbon truffle is at the top of the list so far. Man, that was good.
Oh yeah, I had the bourbon truffle and the Irish cream brownie and the stout. I have yet to try the rum one with the dulce de leche or...
Yeah, that's the rum one, the dulce de leche.
I haven't tried that one yet. It's in the freezer, though. I just haven't tried it yet.
Oh, just got a little piece of breaking news courtesy of Agnes. You know, there's no end of what good money can do for you. Robert Kraft, who got the dirt cheap rub and tug down in Florida, the judge in the trial has suppressed the video evidence of him receiving the aforesaid rub and tug, so he'll probably get away with it.
Why was it suppressed? Oh, money. I'm sorry. Damn me. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because money, Tracy. Because money.
Oh, before we go, I know, but how far are you and Agnes on Pose now that I got you hooked into it?
Yeah, thanks for that. We got through Mother's Day.
You made it through Mother's Day.
Yeah, I mean, she and I were just both sitting there going...
I mean, I rewatched the show like twice, and it every time it's so funny because I was going to buy it on DVD because I loved it just that much. And then the other day I turned on Netflix on Saturday, and I'm like, Pose is on. And I'm like, yes. So I don't have to buy it on DVD because I sure as hell. I mean, the show, for all those of you who don't know, and I think I talked about it when it first came on, is Pose is about the LGBTQ ballroom scene. Back in the late 80s,
yeah.
Early late 80s in New York. And basically, you know, that song Vogue.
That's the thing. Agnes and I were talking about that. I was like, wait a minute. Did Madonna just totally appropriate an entire cultural thing for a song to make some money?
Mm-hmm. To make some money. And like I said, I never knew because the song Vogue came out in 1990, and I remember it. Because Alex was 2 years old, and that's when I took him to Disney World. and they were playing that song. And so this takes place in 1988. And so 87 into 88. And so I'm like, this is some bullshit. Because you know she never gave credit to these people. Oh, and so ballroom culture, you know, voguing and posing and stuff. And there's houses where people, men and women set up houses and take in youth that are, you know, that are on the streets. You know, transgender kids, gay kids, bi, whatever. And the whole, you know, and it was so perfect that you guys watched that show on Mother's Day and you made it to that episode called Mother's Day.
Oh.
Because, see, this is what it talked about, you know, what a mother is and how much, what a mother is, a mother's love, and it doesn't matter
and
she gave birth to you.
Right, and I know I beat on it too much, but I so needed something to cleanse my palate from the Spanish princess. I just did.
Well, you did. I mean, and
I was just so revolted by that. No. Just no.
I'm glad that I was able to help you with that. Oh, and by the way, season 2 comes out next month, and that's why I was asking if you have FX. For those of you who don't have Netflix, you can probably watch it on FX on demand, but it's on Netflix now. It's only 8 episodes.
The production values are exquisite. The ball scenes are amazing. Billy Porter is a genius. That
my son just said, Alex just said, I have to give a disclaimer that I'm getting paid to talk about those.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, The Tower of Mist is on Netflix now also.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it right at the bottom. I just popped up. I don't know. I didn't even know it was on there. Joseph Campbell, The Power of Myth.
Is that the old Bill Moyers?
I think yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's well, you know, it's a good.
We got through the Mother's Day episode, and shut down about midnight last night because it was bedtime. Mm-hmm. And Agnes looked at me and said, "You mean I got to wait till the end of tomorrow's program so that we can sit down and watch the next episode?" Yes. No cheating. Can't watch without me. There's no gunplay. There's no secret agents or. It is so humanly a reminder of a time, and when Billy Porter damns Ronald Reagan, I about jumped up off the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And we've been talking about Baptists all night long, but I had this mental image of, you know, I'd like to strap a bunch of goddamn Baptists to a chair and make them watch it.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to do the Clockwork Orange thing with the little frames that hold their beady little eyes open and make them watch it. Because I want to see if they can get through a few of those scenes without crying. I want to see if they can get through the scene of that brilliant, talented, hopeful young boy getting beaten by his father and thrown out by his mother. And not cry.
Laughing, thrown out by his mother.
Yeah.
Or the whole thing with the red shoes, or Mother's Day when she goes to her mother's funeral.
Yeah.
Oh, tonight you're watching it after the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quick as I'm done with the upload, we're watching.
Oh, okay.
How many episodes are there in the first season? I didn't count.
It's 8. There's only 8. So that box of tissue that you have for Mother's Day and
Christmas. Yeah.
The episode that you're going to be watching tonight, episode 5, you're not going to be able to breathe. If anybody has an inhaler, make sure you have it.
Well, see, the way the Mother's Day episode ended with, "Hi, I'm Patty."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something coming. And
something, I'm telling you.
And you know, just to end this on a sort of a reality note, because I mentioned this to you, there's a lot of people who listen to this program who do not know that years ago, on this little network, we had the first nightly program hosted by an HIV-positive gay man who was on the air five nights a week, as often as he could, talking about his reality. And along the way, sharing the glories of the disco era with some DJs and stuff that people would be amazed to hear talk about. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Studio 54, all this kind of stuff.
Wow, that's back some early 80s.
Back before, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. Peter Godbold had a guest who was talking about what it was like to be gay in the military in Vietnam, and was talking about military homosexuality in the military over history, and was talking about the desperate need to get rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Peter had guests on who were advocates for the trans community before most of this country had heard of the trans community. And so Agnes and I got to sit here and had the privilege of producing all of that. And the archives still exist. If you go to whiterosesociety.org and look for Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold, you might get your mind blown. Because so when we watched Pose, Agnes and I kept talking about Peter said this. Peter described this. I remember when Peter talked about. And
wow.
and it was it. And of course Peter's gone now. And it
would have loved Pose.
Oh, you would not have been able to shut Peter up about Pose. And coming from the perspective that we come from, you know, remember, this is a program hosted by hillbillies. Maybe there's some hope in that, you know, when hillbillies and southerners and stuff are going, damn, this is good. Remember, not all rednecks, not all hillbillies, not all southerners. And there is a certain value to that, I think. Oh, and by the way, also on the way out the door, thank you to Thomas. Thank you, Thomas, so very much for meeting Charlene's challenge. And so that means that it won't be nearly as dire tomorrow as it could have otherwise been. Thank you, Charlene, for the challenge. Thank you, Otto, for jumping in early. And thank you, Thomas. Thank you all very, very kindly. So, Tracy, Todd, thanks a bunch. It was a great conversation. We've run over a little bit, but you guys are always a joy. And I hope you didn't mind me just tying the two phone calls together, because I didn't want to get run off down the garden path and leave somebody else out there hanging. So it worked,
no,
you know.
No, I'm cool with
you guys work and play well with each other. So I knew that would be. I had a sense it would work out.
Bob, man. Tracy, I'll see you later.
And you know, and Todd, Todd, Washington Journal is only a scant 8 hours and 46 minutes away. So, well, you know, you take one for the team. It's appreciated.
Amen.
All right, later, y'all. See you, Tracy. Go try that next pint of ice cream. And that's it for the evening. Thank you very kindly to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the conversation. Thank you to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thanks to Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. And thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And thanks to all of you who voted and helped Coal River Mountain Watch's Tadpole Project get a grant just by voting every day. It didn't take much time. It took very little effort. But with what you did, you made a big difference. Thank you. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.